beside her and guide her through the night with a light from above, from the mountains to the prairies, to the oceans white with
if we look to the answer as to why for so many years we achieved so much, prospered as no other people on earth, it was because here in this land we unleashed the energy and individual genius of man to a greater extent than has ever been done before. Freedom and the dignity of the individual have been more available and assured here than in any other place on earth. The price for this freedom at times has been high, but we have never been unwilling to pay that price. Those who say that we're in a time when there are no heroes, they just don't know where to look. the sloping hills of Arlington National Cemetery with its row upon row of simple white markers bearing crosses or stars of David. They add up to only a tiny fraction of the price that has been paid for our freedom. Each one of those markers is a monument to the kind of hero I spoke of earlier. Their lives ended in places called Belleau Wood, the Argonne, Omaha Beach, Salerno, and halfway around the world on Guadalcanal, Tarawa, Porkchop Hill, the Chosin Reservoir, and in 100 rice paddies and jungles of a place called Vietnam. Under one such marker lies a young man, Martin Treptow, who left his job in a small town barber shop in 1917 to go to France with the famed Rainbow Division. There on the Western Front, he was killed trying to carry a message between battalions under heavy artillery fire. We're told that on his body was found a diary. On the flyleaf, under the heading My Pledge, he had written these words: America must win this war. Therefore, I will work, I will save, I will sacrifice, I will endure. I will fight cheerfully and do my utmost as if the issue of the whole struggle depended on me alone. We must realize that no arsenal or no weapon in the arsenals of the world is so formidable as the will and moral courage of free men and women. It is a weapon our adversaries in today's world do not have. It is a weapon that we as Americans do have. Let that be understood by those who practice terrorism and prey upon their neighbors. As for the enemies of freedom, those who are potential adversaries, they will be reminded that peace is the highest aspiration of the American people. We will negotiate for it, sacrifice for it. We will not surrender for it now or ever. We are Americans.
I'm sure that in many churches across America today, this passage of Scripture found in John 15, verses 12 and 13 is being quoted or read. And it is, "My covenant is this, love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends." As has already been said numerous times this morning, tomorrow is Memorial Day. Now, you understand the traditional day was May the 30th. But in 1971, that traditional day was changed to the last Monday of May. And it was interesting. On Friday, I was kind of reading some news, and I read there that where it said that less than one half of Americans know the meaning behind Memorial Day. That's frightening, isn't it? I mean, they've lost the impact because of it. But less than half. But let me ask you, what does Memorial Day mean to you? What's it mean to you? Folks, I'm afraid that we're living in a time in this nation, unlike any previous years, where patriotism and pride and love for country has been declining, been diminished. You know, for most, it's nothing more than a three-day weekend, a time to get together with your friends and your neighbors and, you know, go to the beach or go to the lake and have a barbecue. That is, if the coronavirus, rules and regulations are okayed with that. But, you know, if they've just forgotten what it really means. People are hampered by it. They give no thought of what it actually stands for. Now, I know that we have some men and women. I know some are not here today. But we have some men and women who were served in the military. at one time or another, were in the war. I know at one time or another. So if you were in the military, why don't you stand? Why don't you stand? I mean, let's show our appreciation for them. Thank you. Thank you for your service. You know, I remember when I was in grade school and then high school, we were taught American history and we were taught world history, and they kind of educated us on all the wars that had taken place up until that time. And I have read books like The Bataan Death March, Unbroken. I've watched documentaries. In fact, just the other night, Susan and I were sitting at home, and of course, you know, everything is a repeat right now. Boring as can all, you know, can be. And so we turned over to the History Channel, and we watched the Battle of Normandy. And boy, did it bring home all these thoughts. I've seen the movie Hacksaw Ridge. Have any of you seen that? I mean, boy, that brings it home, doesn't it? That was a true story. I mean, that's an actual account of what took place. And watching the heroism of our men and women in the military as they went on top of that ridge and fought and died. I mean, it is amazing what they have done. And not only that, their families. You think about what the families of our military people. I mean, they suffer a great deal too, don't they? I mean, husbands even in this peacetime go off, or wives go off on their tours, and the family is left behind to just wait for them and pray for them. You know, I hope you saw the movie The Saving of Private Ryan. And you watch those barges come in with those soldiers and open that gate, and they're all coming in into the water, and many of them are being killed before they ever get to the beach. And many of them never make it off the beach. And you see that, and again, it brings home the impact and the horrors of war and what our men and women suffer for our freedom, that you and I might be here this morning. And that's why there's memorials all over our land. Just to mention a few, the Arizona Memorial. I mean, you stand there on that platform, which Susan and I did some years back, and you realize that over 900 men are entombed in that ship, went down with that ship. And then the World War II Memorial, where over 292,000 men died. The Korean War Memorial, 37,000. And as Sandra sang, the Vietnam War Memorial, that wall. And again, I don't know whether you've been there, but when you go there, you just find that it is so somber, so meaningful. And as the song said, to watch people walk up and find the name of a loved one and put their hand on that loved one's name and just rub their fingers across it with their heads down and tears streaming down their face. And you begin to understand. You begin to feel the cost that took place there. And of course, says the little clip we saw a few minutes ago, the Arlington National Cemetery, where over 400,000 military people are buried. And that's not the only spot, is it? In Hawaii, it's called the Punch Bowl. But you find all of these, I mean, that's just to mention a few. And how we can look at those, how we can hear about those and not be touched with sorrow and hearts aching, but also with thankfulness, astounds me. For you see, those memorials remind us very vividly that freedom is not free, is it? It's not free. Every one of those men and women paid the ultimate price so that you and I can have the freedom that we enjoy. I mean, we're free today, free to pray, free to worship, free to speak, free to assemble, free to vote because of their sacrifice. I mean, these men and women are the real heroes, aren't they? You see, it's a soldier, not a theologian, who has secured for us our freedom of religion. It's a soldier, not a reporter, that has secured for us this freedom of the press. It's a soldier, not a demonstrator, who secured for us the freedom to demonstrate. It's the soldier, not the judge or the lawyer, who has secured our judicial system. It's the soldier, not the entrepreneur, who secured our economic opportunity. And it's the soldier. It's the soldier whose coffin is draped with a flag that has secured the freedom for those who want to burn it. Greater love. Greater love hath no man than this, that he is willing to lay down his life for his friend. And the amazing thing, when we apply that passage of Scripture to our military, we understand, again, they didn't even know us. But they loved this country, just as Ronald Reagan talked about that man who loved his nation and said that he would fight for it. And a man or woman is not dead until they're forgotten. And folks, we must never forget those. Never forget those who have given their lives for our freedom. George Washington said, "The willingness with which our young people are likely to serve in any war, no matter how justified, shall be in direct proportion as to how they perceive the veterans of earlier wars were treated and appreciated by their nation." Now, we know that during the First World War, after that was over, they came home to a celebration. After the Second World War, they came home to a celebration. But after Vietnam, they didn't, did they? After Vietnam, there was demonstrations against them and the reasons that they went. And so, folks, we should be thankful to those who serve and are serving. Those who have made that supreme sacrifice, again, so that you and I may live in what I believe is the greatest nation in the world and on the face of this planet. And when we see veterans, whether they're still serving or veterans of war or those who are active, we ought to stop and thank them. Thank them for their service to us. And the sacrifices, again, that they and their families have made for our freedom. The young people of today are not being taught history. In all too many cases, they're being taught a revisionist type of history, unless maybe they're being homeschooled. You know, they're being taught that America is the aggressor, the bully. College professors like Bill Ayers and Bernadine Dorn, who were radicals during the 60s and were a part of a campaign of bombings that really targeted the Pentagon and our United States Capitol. They're the ones that have been teaching our young minds full of mush and have borne teachers and professors with their dogma. The writers of many textbooks are constantly slipping in untruths and anti-God curriculum. And many of our young people today claim that they have no pride, no allegiance. And they think that America not only is not great now, but was never great. And folks, the biggest battle that you and I are facing, the biggest battle that America is facing today, is for this battle for the very souls of our nation. I mean, we see it all around us everywhere. The erosion of our society has been a slow process in the past, but it seems to be accelerating today, doesn't it? And rapidly at that. I mean, this nation we all have come to know and love, again, is eroding. And the position, excuse me, the position we're in today And I'm not talking about this coronavirus. But the position we're in today is because of what we tolerated yesterday. And the position that we'll be in tomorrow will be in because of what we tolerate today. I mean, we need this day this year. We may need this day this year more than any other year of the past. Because again, a memorial is a reminder of something that should never be forgotten because of its importance. It's a reminder of what freedom cost. 1 week after Pearl Harbor attack, President Franklin Delano Roosevelt said, "Those who long enjoy such privileges that we enjoy forget in time that others have died to win them." And so Memorial Day is not just a day of food, fun, water, and sand, is it? I mean, it's a time of reflection. It's a time of thankfulness. And we need a day like this as a reminder and to help us recall what happened in the past and why we are enjoying what we are enjoying in this present. One person said, "I will contend that failure to remember and honor the sacrifices by those who have gone before us will of necessity lead to a failure to preserve the very things for which they died. Freedom is not free, and those who recognize its cost will continue to pay its price so that it's preserved, while those who do not will not, and so will lose it." And so that's why it's good. That's why it's good that you're here this morning to hear a song that Sandra sang, you know, talking about the wall, a reminder of those 50,000 names. And understanding that every one of them paid a heavy price. And let me tell you something, the soldiers that came home from those wars, it was marked upon them, wasn't it, that they were paying that price. And why we should thank them. I mean, that's why days like this should not be squandered. Because you see, the old need to be reminded and the young people need to be taught. We know that America used to honor God unashamedly and openly. It's etched on numerous memorials or monuments all over the Capitol. It's carved into granite of many of our government buildings. It's printed on our currency. And there was a time when we credited him for our blessings and our successes. And we turned to him in times of our trials and our loss. But this too has been lost from our nation's sense of remembrance. President Woodrow Wilson said, "A nation that does not remember what was yesterday does not know what it is today. Or what is trying to do. We are about a futile thing if we do not know where we came from or what we have been about." And so when a nation or an individual loses a sense of remembrance and reality, then they lose a sense of restraint. And God knew that, didn't he? I mean, God knew that about his people. And he knows that about us. And that's why he set aside special days and special objects of remembrance. In Genesis 9, 18 through 17, he established the rainbow, a covenant with Noah, to mark the fact in that covenant with Noah that he would never again send a flood upon the earth to destroy all flesh. And so it was a reminder of both God's judgment of the past and his promise of the future. In Exodus, the 12th and the 13th chapters, the Lord brings about his last plague on Egypt, which causes Pharaoh to let the people go, to release them from their slavery. And you remember what that last plague was, the death of the firstborn. Told him that every firstborn animal and human being would die that night And even the Israelites, if they did not put the blood of a lamb on the doorpost and the lintel so that the death angel would pass over. And so the Lord established the Passover as a reminder, a yearly event that the Jewish people were to do as a reminder to them of what had taken place to free them. Joshua 3 and 4 records the miraculous crossing of the Jordan River. You remember that? God had instructed the Levites to take that Ark of the Covenant and go down and step into the water. And the moment they stepped into the water, that water was held back. The ground dried up. And they walked across into the promised land on dry ground, just as they had walked into freedom over the Red Sea. And God instructed that one man from each tribe was to take one large stone out of that riverbed, and they were to pile them up on the other side of the river as a monument, as a memorial. And the purpose was specifically so that when future generations saw those stones, they would begin to ask, what do these stones mean? What does this memorial mean? And so it's important, is it not, to remember their history? And it's important to remember ours. The book of Esther records the plot of Haman. Remember how he was a high official in the of King Ahasuerus' court and annihilating the, he was talked about annihilating the Jews living in Persia? And the plot was reversed, wasn't it, by Esther? It was reversed, and he was hung on his own petard, if you will. And a feast of Purim, which is still honored today, is held every year today, was established from that story. We'll come to the New Testament. And you come to the New Testament, and we find that a central part of our worship was just what Herb was talking about earlier. This partaking of the Lord's Supper. And out of 1 Corinthians 11, Paul, you know, explains the procedure of the Lord's Supper, or also what is called communion. And he explains his history and meaning by citing the very words of Jesus concerning it. And Jesus had said, both the bread which represented his body and the cup which represented his blood were to be taken in what? In remembrance, just like it says on the front of this table, doesn't it? In remembrance of me. Jesus set up his own memorial, didn't he? It's something that we of this congregation, we remember every Sunday morning when we come together. And folks, it shouldn't be just a normal custom that we do. It should be something that we bow our heads. That's why we don't just take it as it's passed. We take the cup and the bread and we sit there and we hold it and we have our own little prayer, thanking God, and then we partake. Folks, there are multiple reasons to set aside a day to remember. To remember what Christ did for us, and to remember what those who died did for us. And I've mentioned some of these already, but there is a national reason of remembering the high cost of maintaining our political and our religious freedom. I mean, both honors those who made the ultimate sacrifice and helps to encourage people in the presence to still maintain those freedoms. I mean, that itself is enough a reason for a National Memorial Day, isn't it? You know, we can't expect the church, and we shouldn't try to expect the church to educate our young people and our people to the fullest so that they can never, you know, fall or they can never turn away. I mean, that has to be done by others. It has to be done by the family, doesn't it? I mean, that's why you're told that you ought to have a daily meditation time where you spend time alone with God, reading the Word and praying so that you build that up within you. And that's another reason that we can't leave it to the schools. We can't leave it to the educational system to educate our children on the cost for the freedoms that they have. And so God paid the ultimate sacrifice for them. And God knew that people had short memories. And that's why he said to the Jewish people, if you remember back in Deuteronomy, the 6th chapter, and we've talked about it many times, he told the parents, he said, you talk about it when you lie down, when you sit down, when you get up, when you walk along the road. In other words, you always be talking to them about what God has done for them. Always telling them so that they will remember. And the same thing is true with our nation. You see, as parents, we never get to where the point where we do not want to teach our children, whether they're old or young. We need to constantly build that foundation. And when it comes to the church, teaching them about God and causing them to remember the tremendous price. I mean, the giving of one son. Greater love hath no man than this, that he is willing to give his life for a friend. And as the scripture teaches us, we weren't friends, were we? We were enemies of God. And so we ought to be praying. We ought to be thanking God, but we should also be asking God to bless America. To bless America. Because let me tell you something, America needs it. America needs your prayers, and it needs my prayers. And we're going to get up in just a moment. I'm going to ask you to go ahead and stand. And I want you to listen to this song, and there's a portion where you're going to be able to jump in, and Sandra's going to lead you in that. But as you listen, it's done slowly and thoughtfully. And so I want you to pray about it. Think about it. And then let's sing that song with all of our hearts.
Thank you.
I mean, we have the greatest God who has given us so much, especially the gift of his Son. And he did all of that. He did all of that to reconcile us back to him. He paid the price. All we have to do is give our life to him. And so if you're here this morning and you're outside the body of Christ, we ask you to make that decision as we sing.
God is so good.